Okay, if you have your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 5. And I want to share, I think, a very important message concerning the times that we live in. And I want to entitle this message, Obeying God Rather Than Man. Obeying God Rather Than Man. And I believe that the Holy Spirit really laid this message on my heart. As I was praying this week, God really laid these verses upon my heart. Obeying God rather than man. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 26. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But look at verse 29. But Peter and the apostles replied. Notice what they said. We must obey God rather than any human authority. Now, the New King James says to obey God rather than man. So there's two interpretations to that verse, but it really means the same thing. We must obey God rather than any human authority. Father, I just pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and speak to those that are listening to this video today, this tape. Father, I pray that you will speak to the members of Grace Christian Fellowship, that you will speak to the body of Christ this morning as we are gathered together. Lord, that you will open up our minds and hearts to the truth of your precious word. And I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We must obey God rather than any human authority. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen today or tomorrow or next month. But I believe there is coming a day where you and I are going to have to decide who we're going to obey, God or some human authority. I believe that day is going to come. I think it's very close. Even as we are gathered in this room today, over 500 churches in the state of California have told the governor that they are opening up on May the 31st, no matter what kind of restrictions there are. Over 500 churches, many of them well-known pastors, some not so well-known, have gathered together and said, you know what? We have come to a point where we have to say, I obey God rather than man. No, there comes a time. I think we need to remember that Satan hates the church. He hates the church and he wants to destroy it. How many know that's the truth? Satan hates the church and he wants to destroy it. His fury is greatly enlarged because the Bible says he knows his time is short. Time is short. The Bible says that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, even though he knew it might cost him his life. And we know that he was thrown into a den of lions. Right? How many remember that story in the book of Daniel? He was thrown into a den of lions because he could not give in to the king's edict. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the king's image that had been set up. And the Bible says they were cast into a fiery furnace. And they said to the king, it doesn't matter what happens to us, whether we burn in that furnace or God delivers us, we will not give in to your command. We will continue to worship God because he's the only one that deserves the worship. God and his word comes above every human or man-made ordinance. Can somebody say amen this morning? Every human or man-made ordinance. Now, am I telling you not to pay your taxes? No. Wouldn't that be nice? We have to submit to the authority, except when it goes against God's word. If we are forced to do something that goes against the precepts found in your Bible, we have to make a decision whether we're going to give in or we're going to reject. And I think that if it goes against the Word of God, we have to say no. Our supreme allegiance is to God and His Word. Let me tell you this morning, and I'm not trying to scare anyone, but the mark of the beast is coming. The mark of the beast is coming. And anyone who takes the mark is lost. They're lost. They're literally lost. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. I want to say it again. The mark of the beast is coming. You say, Pastor Ripley, well, I'm going to be raptured before that happens. Well, let's hope so. How many would like to be raptured before it happens? But how many know there's no guarantee that we got it right? Maybe we'll have to go through some of the tribulation. We don't know for sure. Some believe in pre-trib, as I said on Wednesday. Some believe in mid-trib. Some believe in post-trib. We studied that in Bible college. Most Pentecostals believe in pre-trib. I hope we got it right. But maybe we'll have to go through some of the tribulation, and a decision will have to be made if we are going to take the mark of the beast. I want to say it again, that many people believe, Christians believe, that the Antichrist is already on the earth. We have no evidence of that, but many feel that the Antichrist is already on the earth. And we see all the things that are happening. I'm not going to repeat myself, but we see all the things that are happening around the world. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man." Look at verse 14. "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." Think about that for a minute. You know that artificial intelligence is here already? This is a wake-up call for the church, this pandemic. And it should be given as a warning to every single individual in this town and in this valley to get right with God. To give their lives fully and completely to Jesus Christ. "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads." I don't know if we can bring that slide back up again, the first one. But this technology that we see on this slide is already here. Are you hearing me? It's already here. "To receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. "Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We don't have to wonder if the technology is already available. It already is. Our society is turning into a cashless society. Many people don't even want to receive your cash. How far away are we from a chip? How far away are we from a one-world government? And friends, let me tell you, I was listening to the news just last night, and they were saying that it's a possibility that this vaccine will be mandatory, that you will not be able to get on an airplane or traveled internationally unless you have the vaccine. And what will be in that vaccine? What will that vaccine entail? Are you hearing me? You know, we need to ask questions. You know, as Canadians, we're so laid back. We don't ask questions about anything. But how many know Americans ask questions? They don't just accept everything that comes down the pipe. They don't just accept everything that's said. They ascertain whether it's true or not. They independently go to God and ask God, is this right? We need to start asking questions. I believe everything that's playing out is according to God's divine plan. Now listen to me. It also means that all truly born-again believers must prepare themselves for intense persecution. Now, I know a lot of pastors are not talking about this. I don't know what they're talking about. But I know that I have heard directly from the throne room of heaven, we must prepare ourselves for intense persecution. You are going to be hated for your faith. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Do you think Satan is enraged with the church, with the body of Christ who is preaching the good news of Jesus, that men have to repent and turn from their sins and receive salvation by their faith in the cross and the blood of Jesus? Satan is now, even now, testing the waters to see how far he can go to curtail the movements of the church. Hello? You know what they want you to do? I heard this in Alberta. They want you to download an app that will track your movements. So if you do get the virus, they'll know who you were talking to. Friends, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. When they know exactly where you've been and where you're going. Now, if you don't have a smartphone, you got nothing to worry about. They don't know where you are. But a lot of people do. A lot of Christians do. And they're going to track. Satan wants to curtail the movement of the church. He wants to make this a private relationship. Keep it to yourself in your little home, in your little closet. Don't go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this morning, even during the tribulation, the gospel is going to be preached. Can somebody shout amen? Hallelujah. You can't hold back the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be proclaimed. It must be preached. It can't stay inside our homes. It's got to go forth, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that what the Bible says? Don't go here. Don't go there. You can worship here, but you can't worship there. Stay here. Don't go there. Will we bend to his desires, or will we stand true to the word of God? Think about it. Will you take the vaccine? What if it's mandatory? Will you allow your movements to be monitored, even if it's for the apparent good of society? These are things that we have to think about. These are things that we have to contemplate. These are things that we need to meditate and gain an answer from God. Lord, show me the way. Reveal to me the path laid out before me. Lord, I want to follow your will. I want to do what is in your heart. I said to one pastor, I said, what if the government told you you can't read your Bible in the church? You know what his answer was? I'll just read it at home. But what if I want to go read it in the church? What if I want to, by myself, go into the church and read my Bible? Why should the government tell me where I am going to worship? Are you hearing me this morning? I'm not talking about using wisdom. I'm not talking about what we're doing here this morning. I'm talking about what's coming down soon. And we have to be prepared. We need to be spiritually prepared. Are you hearing me? This is no time for lukewarmness. This is no time to take the pedal and say, you know what, I'm going to lighten up on the pedal and I'm just going to slow down. No, this is the time to intensify your relationship with God. Can somebody say amen this morning? This is the time to spend more time in the Word and say, God, prepare me spiritually. One last scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. See, Satan wants to isolate us. He wants to separate us. You know why Satan does that? If he can isolate people, he can pick them off easily, the weaker ones, right? He can just come and work on you. When you're alone and isolated, he comes and works on you. But when you come together, the Lord does his work in our hearts and in our lives. Together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You see, this is a repeated thought that Satan is going to be able to perform all kinds of lying wonders to make people think that the person is from God. Are you hearing me? And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Why are people perishing? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Friends, you got to love the truth of God's word. Are you hearing me this morning? The book that you're holding in your hands, that's the truth. We love the truth. We hunger for the truth. We desire the truth. Are you hearing me this morning? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, look at verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. You say, how can people believe such lies? How can people take hold of such lies? It's because of the delusional spirit that's being sent forth from the spirit of Satan. That's why people are hanging on to these lies. But friends, thank God that we have the truth this morning. Can somebody say amen? We have the truth of God's word in our hearts. We have His word to cling to in this hour. We have a foundation that we can build upon. And I believe, folks, that wherever there's a group of people, whether small or large, in this hour that cling to the truth of God's word, God is going to pour out His Spirit. Hallelujah. We are going to see signs and wonders and miracles, but they're going to come from the hand of Almighty God. I'm believing for a harvest in Creston. I'm believing for a harvest in Creston. Come on, somebody. I'm believing for souls to be saved, for backsliders to come home in Jesus' name. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Friends, this is serious. We're living in serious times. We need to warn those that are backslidden. We need to warn those that are living lukewarm lives, that intense persecution is coming, and we need to be ready. I want to encourage you, be ready. It's coming. It's already begun in many places, and it's going to intensify. But friends, if we'll cling to God, He will be our source of strength. Hallelujah. Someone has said that what we have seen over the last couple of months is nothing compared to what's coming. Prophets have declared this to be true. That what we've experienced is nothing compared to what's coming. But it has to happen. It's God's plan. He has to allow it to happen. His purpose is unfolding before us in the name of Jesus. Will you bow together in prayer?